Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
This fall, the Fantasy Sports Channel will make history
all over again
with even more live fantasy sports radio than anywhere on the planet. At least 12 hours of fantasy football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday, plus more fantasy sports talk every Saturday and Sunday. More than 50 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business.
Try getting that on your radio dial.
The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
And Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Welcome to Red versus Blue, High Stakes Fantasy Radio, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team with the world of High Stakes Fantasy Football. And as always, I'm joined by the Big Blue co-host himself from Brandenburg, Kentucky, Michael Trent. Mike, you were in Las Vegas with me. You had Rachel out there. I had my wife, Erin. We got a fire for a week straight of fantasy football bliss. Talk to me, my man. How was the time? What kind of a team did you come out of there with?
Well, first off, the time was wonderful. You know, it was a great Wednesday night. The party for the Giants-Cowboys game, I mean, that was fantastic. They did a heck of a job. And, you know, I just want to give kudos to the entire FFPC staff. They all did a wonderful job. And Thursday was awesome as well. Friday we played golf. And then Friday, after playing golf, had the bright idea to go ahead and draft. So the team itself, we come out okay. You know, we ended up not doing very well as far as after week one. But the event itself, the event coming up to the draft, and then the draft itself, and then, you know, watching the games. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun meeting some people that I'm only used to meeting on the message boards and things like that. So it was a lot of fun just to meet everybody, and can't wait to get reconnected next year, because it was a ball, Scott. It was just an absolute ball. And anybody that hasn't done it, you know, you got to do it. You just have to do it. It was that much fun.
347-324-5404 is the number. I heard I sounded a little distorted using the Skype login, so we're going to go ahead and go back to the phone line. Mike, do I sound a little better?
Yes, absolutely. Sound much better, and more of you and less of me is probably, you know, does make the show better. So I was thinking, oh, my goodness, I might have to step in for a while. But, yeah, you sound much better.
Good. 347-324-5404. We are back live on the Fantasy Sports Channel, FSC.FM, streaming live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, bringing you fantasy sports action, all you can handle, all you can take. We do also stream live on iTunes Radio, Mike. This thing is blowing up. What started as a little podcast is turning into something that we weren't expecting. The Fantasy Sports Channel, FSC.FM. This is the Red vs. Blue Radio Show, brought to you by Fantasy Players Association. Our special guest tonight is Eric Baltman from the High Stakes Fantasy Hour. You just listened to Dave and Eric break down all of the action. And Mike, the Las Vegas experience was just tremendous. The Fantasy Football Players Championship, the National Fantasy Football Championship, the new upstart, the Fantasy Football World Championship. There's just a lot going on in Vegas these days. The sports books are packed. It's better than ever. And yeah. I'll tell you what, we have to start right now with what we saw in Week 1 that's going to affect us in Week 2. No reason to really look back. I mean, look, we did have the Ogletree moment on Wednesday night that caused so much fun and hilarity throughout the Vegas experience, right? Every time you heard Ogletree, you know, somebody's getting to put a 30-round spot on somebody, and you're getting a 30-point guy in round six. And so that makes a big difference in these high-stakes leagues, because we do draft after that first game. And so Ogletree was a popular name, Mike. Everybody went ahead and got him in those leagues. If you drafted early, you had to pick him up on waivers and spend quite a bit of money. The question is now, what do we do with him? Can we get him in the lineup for guys that are of marginal similar talent? Somebody like a Darius Hayward Bay, somebody like a Danny Amendola. These are the questions we're getting, and it's very tough to have a definitive answer. Mike, what do you think? You're a Cowboy fan. Give the crowd and the listeners, we got the crew here at Red vs. Blue, give them some takes on Ogletree. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think Ogletree deserves that second chance, or not second chance, but that look as far as spending a lot of money on the waiver wire. Me personally, I didn't do it, because how many times have we seen this happen in the first week or two where somebody just explodes, and then the next 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks does basically nothing. You know, Dallas is going up against Seattle this week at Seattle, and the over and under is 42.5. That's a pretty low number for a guy that scored that many fantasy points. So, especially against a pretty decent secondary. So, I'm not saying that Ogletree is a flash in the pan just for 1 week, but I would definitely not spend a lot of waiver bar money, and I would, you know, I just can't put all the eggs in one basket based on that 1 week on what Ogletree did, because Dez Bryant and those other guys, especially when Jason Witten is going to be fully healthy, Ogletree's not going to be that first option. I mean, he's going to be your third option at best. And not to mention, Scott, that DeMarco Murray, I mean, he looked like a beast. So, I don't know. It just tells me that Ogletree, that's fine. That's all good and well. But I'm not sold on spending a lot of money on him on waiver wire.
The snap counts, I don't have them in front of me. I did look at them earlier this week. They were a little low for Ogletree. I like to see those guys that have the high snap counts. It's very interesting. You know, we, watched the Cincinnati game and we saw this kid. What the heck was his name, Mike?
Hawkins.
Yeah, Hawkins. He looked like the next Darren Sproles out there. He's 5'7". He was lightning fast. He's running all around the field. But then you look at the snap counts and you're like, wow, okay, Armin Benz is still getting 2.5 times more snaps than this guy is out on the field. So the question is, will he be able to duplicate that? I do think that early in the season, you know, it's okay to take those flyers, though. These are the guys that I was talking to my good friend Wayne Ellis earlier today on the road, and I said, you know, he passes the eye test. That kid looks fast, and we need to give him a chance. You need to go ahead and put a bid on him. Somewhere around the 150 mark, I think, should get him. And that's an expensive bid, but for somebody that with his kind of speed, and we saw what Darren Sproles did to defensive coordinators last year, people are, you know, that coaches, this is a copycat league. Coaches are looking to imitate that. And sure enough, we have the Randall Cobbs coming out. And now we have this kid from Cincinnati coming out. These types of players are making a difference and kind of wreaking havoc for these defensive coordinators. So, Mike, when you saw him, like I said, he passes the eye test to me. And with A.J. Green being doubled, you really only have Gresham and Green to throw to. They've got to have somebody else. What do you think about this kid?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's electrifying. And they've obviously done their homework in training camp throughout, you know, exhibition games, just whenever they can. But, you know, I think this kid's going to be fine because that's, you know, he is going to have an opportunity. And then next thing you know, if you're an A.J. Green owner, if you're a Jermaine Gresham owner, you're licking your chops because you're thinking, okay, well, cool. I mean, that's going to free my guy up now because that's going to give Cincinnati a few more options. I mean, Cincinnati's a 7-point favorite. When was the last time they were a 7-point favorite? Home, road, I don't care. So, you know, it's just kind of crazy that they might have a lot of options to go with. And so not only does Hawkins, you know, make himself more valuable, but it does make A.J. Green owners, you know, it makes him more valuable as well.
Yeah, you know, this is a overreaction league, and in the NFL, I always look for those bounce-back games. We saw it from Green Bay. They bounced back. Chicago, everybody overreacted on them playing against the Colts. Yeah. They come in there against a real team, and Green Bay really hands it to them. That's karma right there. Jay Cutler opens and runs his mouth. That's fantasy karma, too. You know, that's what you get. I look for those types of things. Cleveland had a terrible first week. They actually played pretty respectable defense, you know, on Philadelphia. Philadelphia couldn't do much for most of the game. Cleveland almost had them down. They just didn't get the win, right? But and I know Whedon looked horrible, but you know what? Dominic Rogers Cromartie's out there. You got Osimo out there, a hellacious secondary, you know, giving that kid fits, Whedon. So I don't really expect a lot. I think that Cincinnati did play well, about as well as you could play if you're Cincinnati against that Baltimore team that looked tremendous. And so I'm thinking to myself, you know what, Cincinnati -7, like you said, Mike, that's a lot of points in the NFL, really, for any team. And for Cincinnati to do that would be a stretch for me. I definitely am taking Cleveland and the points, even though it's on the road. That's an over-under of 39 is what I have. I'm not sure if that's what you stated earlier, but
yeah, that 39.5.
Gotcha.
But you know, I took Cleveland last week, and you know, it was just kind of a gut thing, you know, against Philly, and not thinking that Philly was going to be right. But I want to look back on last night's game as a fantasy owner. You know, if you're a fantasy owner and you didn't have a single Green Bay or Chicago player on your team, you've got to be a real happy camper right now.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a murderous game to watch, especially for Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler owners. If you were Aaron Rodgers owner, you were devastated throughout the game. You're thinking to yourself, man, I spent a first or at worst second round pick on Aaron Rodgers. And look at what it's getting me. And you have to think to yourself, you know, Aaron Rodgers will get his, but the first two matchups, San Francisco and Chicago, those are two tough matchups. He will definitely get his, but at the end of the day, you hate to see somebody spend that early of a pick on a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers and then not get rewarded to some extent. Let's go ahead and bring in our guest for the evening. Let's go ahead and have some fun. I mean, we need to have some fun on this show. We're bringing in Eric Balkman, Crafty Balky from the High Stakes Fantasy Hour. What's going on, my man?
I just left the Pepsi Max studios listening to you guys talk about Andrew Hawkins and the Bengals and the like, and so excited to be back on Red versus Blue.
Right.
Show me the money!
Eric, we had a ball and a blast with you guys in Vegas, man. It's always a great time being with you guys, hanging out at the sports book, kicking back, drafting pretty much nonstop. You know, for about 4 days straight there, we drafted a Thursday, and I don't remember. I just remember Monday. I'm on a flight home after that. You know, and it was one of those weeks. We had a hellacious time. Tell everybody about yourself. You are now obviously rocking the High Stakes Fantasy Hour on Friday nights, and you're also involved with the FFPC.
Yeah, I did some work for the FFPC. For those of you people who played the Football Guys Players Championship or the FFPC, I probably commissioned one of your online drafts. I know myself and Kevin English did about 300 some of them together. So chances are you're probably in one of our drafts. I did a lot of that. We shot a film, a short documentary film out in Vegas for the FFPC, of which I may or may not be the star, depending upon how kind or cruel the editors decide to be to me. But I'm doing that. But the biggest thing that I'm very excited about is the Fantasy Baseball Players Championship, which we're going to be rolling out here soon. We'll have more announcements coming up in the next, I would say, 2 to 3 weeks. But we want to get drafts started on that as soon as the season ends. More to follow on that, but that's really what I'm most excited about. Probably the biggest hat that I wear with the FFPC is the baseball commissioner one.
That sounds great, Eric. You know, we had a chance to talk a little bit in Vegas about that, and you know, I know there's so much work to be done about that, but you know, I just want to thank you for spearheading that. And just continuing to move forward with it. We had a lot of fun in Vegas, had a lot of fun talking about the football and everything. So I'm looking forward to the baseball and you know, what's in store. But I got some other things that I'm going to send to you that might help that out. It might help some other people in the industry to help understand what fantasy baseball and high stakes fantasy baseball is all about.
I'm sorry, Mike. You cut out. High Stakes Fantasy Show. We've got Scott Atkins and Michael Trent here. Eric Baltman is our guest from the High Stakes Fantasy Hour. Eric, tell everybody real quick. You were in Vegas for the FFPC. You did several drafts, a lot of big ones. What types of teams did you get out there? Are you happy? Are you a little down? Do you feel like you nailed it? What's going on week one?
Well, I didn't myself. I did not draft any teams. I proxied for a few online guys out there. I didn't draft any teams myself. I did, the real Leroy and, you know, Kurt Aw, those guys I flew out to Vegas with. So I was definitely rooting for those guys. They had three main event teams. They were in a couple of DEs. They were in the super sat that went off out there. So I felt like, you know, looking at their teams, I felt like, and here's the thing, Scott, this is the biggest thing I really took from the weekend. A lot of people got a little crazy in the Football Guys drafts and the FFPC satellites leading up, I would say, the last 2 or 3 weeks. Up until everybody went out to Vegas, guys, you know, sleeper guys that were going, you know, 2 or 3 rounds, but, you know, before they should have. I'm talking about like Eric Decker going crazy high. You know, I saw Jimmy Graham go number one overall in a draft, you know, I mean, just crazy stuff like that. Julio Jones going in like the top 5 or 6 picks. The one thing I noticed at the drafts out in Vegas is that those guys kind of came back down to earth a little bit, and the ADP kind of reverted to what it was like, you know, in like early August. I think that was the biggest thing I noticed. So there were sleepers to be had again. The injured guys fell a little bit, which I think we've seen every year, but there's a lot of really good teams out there, and it is going to be an exciting season to see how the waiver wire and injuries shape those teams.
It definitely is. And the waiver wire was something we had to pay attention to this week. We had Dennis Pitta was kind of a breakout player there for Baltimore. We saw what Joe Flacco is all about, Eric. We have this team that we've always thought was a conventional run first, pass second offense is coming out, and Ray Rice isn't touching the ball nearly as much. And he's actually going to be a lot more productive from what we can tell, but he's dropping back. When you watch that Baltimore game, what were your thoughts on that and seeing what Joe Flacco could do with Bolden and Torrey Smith and these tight ends?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because I was actually watching that game, and this is just a little story about myself. So the fantasy analysis is coming, people. Just hang on 1 second. Let me get this out. I was just chilling with Cornfins, Jeff Tiravasi, Real Leroy, Dave Gerzak, and Kurt Awe in the Bellagio Sportsbook, and we were watching the games out there. And who sits next to us but Brent Musburger, which was awesome. And so, you know, I got a photo with him, talked to him a little bit. He was on the Ravens that night, and after Bolden scored that touchdown, I saw him fist bump one of the guys he was sitting with. So I knew he won a lot of money in the Ravens. I had the Bengals, which was unfortunate, and that was the only one I missed that night. I hit the totals in both games, and I hit the late game. I had the Chargers. So I guess the moral of the story is don't bet against Brent Musburger because he'll destroy you. But getting back to the fantasy analysis kind of thing,
that was great.
Bengals game, I mean, like, I'm telling you, and we kind of knew going in. I mean, I kind of thought, like, you know, it seems like every year Joe Flacco, they say, well, we're really going to let him and this offense loose this year. We're going to let him go up and down the field with Smith and Bolden and Pitta and Dixon, and Ray Rice is going to catch 80 balls. It seems like we hear that every year, but it never really happens. I just had a feeling this year, this is going to be the year that, you know, they're going to go no huddle and they're going to go crazy and they're going to go, you know, this high octane passing offense. And I don't think we saw it to its full extent week one, but I think we're going to as the season goes on. I still think Ray Rice is going to be a huge part of that, but I expect a big year from Torrey Smith. I think Anquan Bolden probably has one decent season left in him. And Dennis Pitta, I mean, like, you know, we'll see what happens with him, but my God, did he look good in week one.
He did. And Mike, we were talking about this earlier today, the Dennis Pitta, comparisons that were coming out, you know, with all, you always get all the names thrown out there, the Gronkowskis and this and that. They've compared Kyle Rudolph to him, and you're starting to hear that kind of talk now, that dual tight end. The offense is really like this when they can throw the two tight ends and a couple of wideouts out there and do no huddle. Joe Flacco was one play away from being a Super Bowl quarterback, so it's nice to see them. He's in a contract year, and he's going for that big payday, so I think we're going to see more of the same. I do think that Torrey Smith, as talented as this kid is, right, I almost feel like he's being a little bit – he was a little bit overdrafted, Eric. I mean, I really liked him. I picked him up in one of the super sacks there in Vegas. But I almost, after watching the game, I'm like, man, this kid is a one-trick pony. He's that deep threat that – and he can catch the deep ball, but does he have the rest of the game to really go with it so that he can be a constant, you know, 5-6 catch type guy every week?
Yeah, and I think the prevailing, and this is just my opinion on it, the prevailing view on that whole Torrey Smith thing, there are a lot of guys that were going right around Torrey Smith that have done it before, that have been proven. I mean, guys like Dwayne Bowe, Reggie Wayne. I mean, if you're taking a receiver there, you're probably going to be more comfortable taking a guy who's had like a 1,000-yard season, who's had like an 8-touchdown season. Well, Torrey Smith hasn't done that. And I think if you're of the gambler type and you're trying to win $200,000 and you're like, hey, you know, maybe Torrey Smith, maybe this is the year he just goes crazy, gets 80 balls for 1,200 yards and 10 or 11 touchdowns. You know, I think that's not a bad thing to bet on there. Could he not break through the season? Sure. I mean, is it possible that we don't see him running anything underneath because Pitta and Dixon and Bolden and Rice and they're taking that and they just want Smith to go deep? Yeah. I mean, that's certainly possible, but I think when you have a guy as talented as Torrey Smith, as pedigreed as he is, they had to give up, or they used such a high draft pick on him. I really think that they want him doing more than just, you know, running down the field on the 9 route all the time. So, you know, maybe we didn't see it week one, but I do think it's coming. I do think that we're going to see him run all the routes on the route tree and really become a big-time receiving force in the AFC North.
Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Hour is our guest. Eric, give us a sleeper of the week, somebody who didn't perform week one, but you think they will week two. There's a lot of games to choose from here. I see a lot of options that could be thrown out. Do you have any sleepers for us?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a guy who kind of struggled week one that I think is going to go boffo in week two is Cam Newton. I mean, the total on that game has got to be out of this world. I mean, it could be a higher total than, you know, some of the old time or some of the current Pac-10 games we see in college football. It's just going to be a big time shootout, and I think Cam's just going to go crazy that week or this week. So I think he's the type of guy where, you know, you probably took him in like the fifth or sixth round in like a FFPC main event. You're pulling your hair out like, wow, my God, I can't believe I took a quarterback then and he played like this. But I think this is the week where we see the Cam Newton of old.
You know what, yeah, that total is 51.5 right now is what I have it at, Mike. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's what I see as well. And, you know, I really think that I think that could happen also. Cam Newton, he's sitting on a big game, so, you know, I can see that happening as well. Drew Brees.
I have my sleeper of the week, and Mike, I don't know if you prepared one, but my sleeper of the week this week is Greg Little against Cincinnati, a guy that didn't catch a single pass. It's got to get better, right? I've got a hit on this one, man. But when I looked at the game logs and I saw what he's against, they have great corners. They have awesome safety help in Philadelphia. You know, when you've got these guys, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, and then awesome Watt. What can you really ask Whedon to do to try to get the ball to Greg Little? They have to get him the ball. They have to start feeding Trent Richardson. Richardson looked like he was kind of in the mud last week. He kind of really didn't look as fast as he normally looked. So I think he's going to get a little bit on track his second game, and I think that this Whedon, things have to get better for him and Greg Little. Greg Little is a heck of a player. We saw what he could do last year. It's not like he's just going to disappear. The interesting thing there is that on the snap counts, Muhammad Masakwai was out there a whole bunch that game, more than Josh Gordon. So for those of you looking for that Josh Gordon connection right now, I'm not so sure the snap counts really support any kind of breakout coming. He's going to have to do something big. Now, he is capable. He can make that big play, a la like a Kendall Wright or something like that, make a big play and then earn more playing time. But he's going to have to do it on limited snaps unless somebody gets injured. So that's my sleeper. Mike, do you have one?
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of a weird sleeper, but comes from the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis. I see Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis scoring two touchdowns, and that can be very very beneficial as a fantasy owner. Do you want him? I mean, the Bengals are a 7-point favorite against Cleveland. The over and under is 39.5, which tells me that somebody's going to score points in this game. And based on what both teams did last week, how did they come up with 39.5? Well, I think Cincinnati's going to score quite a few points, and I think they're going to be able to run the ball against Cleveland. So, I mean, I know that's a weird sleeper. That might be your RB 2 or 3. But Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis is someone that I would look at.
Yeah, Joe Hayden suspended, right, Eric? And so that's going to mean that A.J. Green's going to have a big, big day.
Yeah, that Cleveland defense in general, it's not very good. I mean, it's actually – decent against the run, you know, maybe a little bit above average. But, yeah, I mean, like, guys like Green and Gresham I really like this week, too. And even Andrew Hawkins, too. I mean, I think Andy Dalton's in for a really solid week. And this could be what we see from Cleveland this year, is they're the team that everybody batters upon every single week. You know, Trent Richardson practiced fully, I saw this week. He's going to be a full go. But again, I think missing so much preseason, I just wonder when he catches up with the curve. And you know, Greg Little, how he had no catches last week just boggles my mind. But yeah, Cincinnati passing game. If you got a Bengal pass catcher, start him this week.
All right, Eric Baltman from the High Stakes Fantasy Hour. Give us somebody we should sit. Somebody that maybe is still has your attention. You want to put in your lineup, but you're here to tell us, you know what? Don't buy the hype. Go ahead and put him back on the bench.
Jay Cutler, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Eric. I just had to bust in. It was one of my moments.
Okay. He said Jay Cutler.
I'm Jay familiar Cutler. With those. Yes, Jay Cutler, if you can go back in time and sit him, please do. I wish I had that opportunity, but until you know, I get a good old Doc Brown from Back to the Future on the phone. I don't think that's going to happen. A guy I would sit this week that I think people drafted him to be a starter, and this is a little bit of cheating, I guess, but I think given that
how good Sean Green was week one. He gets 90 yards. He gets a touchdown. I think people are like, oh, maybe this is finally the year. This is finally the year that Green gets that, you know, that big 1,200-yard, 12-touchdown year. And you know, I really don't think too highly of Buffalo's run defense. And I think it took, you know, 27 carries or whatever to get 90 yards. Well, he's on the road in Pittsburgh this week, folks. And things, I mean, that's like night and day. So I look at him as a guy, like if you were starting him as your number two or your flex back that, you know, last week, you got to have a better option than him. And quite frankly, if you don't, you might as well not submit starting lineups for the rest of the year because your team's done.
Yeah, good points, man. I'm going to pick Titus Young at San Francisco. Here's a kid that has all the high expectations to be the number two receiver in Detroit. That seems like a lot of fantasy points there to be scored. I really like the kid on a dynasty perspective, but not this week. He's still making the dumb decisions. That's what Jim Schwartz said after he headbutted the Rams kid there in week one. And he was benched. He benched him after that play, and he finished with like two fantasy points. So he should improve this week, but his playing time could be limited as far as disciplinary concerns, and that makes him a risky fantasy option. And you're talking about the San Francisco 49ers. They have a stellar secondary. They could make it a very difficult matchup for Young. So I'm not looking forward to putting Titus Young in the lineup in those leagues that I own him. I'm also curious about what people are doing with Justin Blackmon after that dismal performance week one. Man, this is a kid that everybody was taking around, like you said, Eric, the Reggie Wayne area. Here's a guy that was totally underrated, you know, knowing that Andrew Luck's going to be behind and throwing the ball. And people are taking Justin Blackmon hoping that he would be a Reggie Wayne, you know? I mean, well, you've got Reggie Wayne right in front of you, so why do that? But this is a tough matchup. You know, if it's Houston, they have a tremendous defense. They held the Dolphin wide receivers to like 10 fantasy points combined last week. So we expect the Jags to do a little better. But Houston's defense, they're swarming. And I have to see Blackmon prove himself before starting him at anything more than a number three wide receiver. Mike, do you have a sit-em?
Yeah, Tampa Bay, Doug Martin.
Whoa.
I don't see much happening with the Tampa Bay offense against the Giants. The Giants, they're really they're pretty upset about what happened, and they don't like losing to Dallas. Even though the defense gave up a lot of rushing yards to DeMarco Murray, but I still don't see.
Oh, please continue.
I'll tell you what, he does, it's about that time. It's about 11:30, so that's about the time. I really think that I've already checked off the Giants as giving up seven, and I've already checked off the Giants the under 44 because this game is going to be all New York all the time.
Eric, what are your thoughts on benching Doug Martin?
Okay. I'm going to look at this from the perspective of something that I don't hear on the show often, and I'm gonna try to answer this and defend Mike Trent's argument here for Doug Martin. Okay, so Tampa still has they pay all that money for Vincent Jackson. This could be a shootout type game. I know that they want to not run. There's a report this week that Doug Martin had 28 touches last week, and I know Shiano doesn't want to pound him in the ground like John Gruden did to another Tampa Bay running back, and Cadillac Williams basically ruined his career. So, I mean, there's something to be said for that. Maybe they rein him in a little bit and they don't let him touch the ball as much. But I'll say this. If you're benching Doug Martin this week, you probably have a pretty predominant team. So you can probably afford to do it this week. I'll say this. I'm not as good as Mike Trent, so I am not good enough to sit Doug Martin this week. Like, I'm not good enough to draft a team like that. But, hey, Mike got his FFPC main event team paid for by killing it in Kentucky, so who am I to talk?
He did. Yeah. He did. He was sitting in Vegas for free on the backs of the Kentucky players.
Well,
it's just very tough to bench a guy like Doug Martin.
I mean, really, Eric and Scott, I mean, you know, you're asking for a guy that I would bench. You know, that just came out at me because I've got three or four other running backs, and it fits the spot. And I cannot see myself starting Doug Martin.
But I was just looking for like an Andre Roberts, you know, or something, or like a Kyle Rudolph, you know, or maybe a Kobe Fleener, you know, something.
Anybody could do that. I mean, anybody could bench a Kyle Rudolph. Anybody could bench a Andre Roberts. Anybody could bench that. I mean, I'm going for a reach. I mean, I'm getting ballsy, I guess.
All right, hilarious question from an email or the Red Blue Radio inbox. The real Ron Burgundy emails us. It says, Balky is a cheap imposter as a reporter, but one heck of a fantasy player. He's the brains of the Gerzak clan. Real quick, Eric, hurting at quarterback, who do you like? Bradford versus Washington, Palmer at Miami, or Russell Wilson versus Dallas? I'll be listening. Thanks.
Well, first of all, if you know me at all, you know that all I do is rip things off. You listen to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour listeners, that's all they say I do, and yet they keep coming back for more. So I must be doing something original. For the quarterback question, Bradford had a good matchup last week, and a solid matchup with the secondary last week, and he didn't really take advantage. Carson Palmer didn't look very good at all, so I'm going to borrow a book out of the Mike Trent playbook. Go big or go home. Start Russell Wilson against the Cowboys. I like a bounce-back game for him.
I love it. All right, we'll discuss, guys. Here we've got Stephen Hill or Braylon Edwards from the Twitter. Tweeted us at Red Blue Radio on Twitter. Stephen Hill or Braylon Edwards?
Ooh.
I am probably going to ride the hot hand and go with Stephen Hill and just, you know, again, I saw a report that Golden Tate's starting and Braylon Edwards might be working in. Well, Stephen Hill obviously has a rapport with Mark Sanchez and you know, I'll ride the hot hand and until Stephen Hill falls on his face, I'm probably still going to be starting him over Braylon Edwards.
Mike, I like that philosophy, riding the hot hand. You know, I usually never do that. I always want to see two games before I start to ride. You know, it's like Cam Newton. A lot of people last year, he had that big week one against Arizona, and everybody said, oh, that's against Arizona. This is Green Bay coming up. And what'd he do? He ended up posting like 403 on those guys, or 404, set a rookie record. So you miss out on those games, but he is definitely a hot hand. How the Jets were one of the bigger storylines of week one. I mean, obviously we talked about Ogletree. Peyton looked like Peyton. We talked about Flacco airing it out and scoring 44. Then you had RG3, my pick for the lock of the week or the sleeper pick of the week, and they beat the Saints. But then when we saw the Jets and Sanchez and Stephen Hill score 48, I really said to myself, man, you have to take a look at this Stephen Hill kid. What, just how special is he? The knock on him was always that he couldn't run routes. He wasn't the route tree was very limited at college, and he doesn't have the best of hands. But the kid is 6'4", 215, physical specimen, and to see him really just make plays, and that's what you need to do as a receiver in that offense because nobody else is there. To see a rookie come in and make plays was pretty spectacular. Now he gets a much tougher task with the Steelers. It's going to be very tough. Mike, is that somebody you could throw in there?
No way. I thought it was pretty cool that the Jets won in the fashion that they did, but you have to remember they scored a lot of points on field possession. They had great field possession because Buffalo was inept. They were inept in every phase of the game. It doesn't matter, offense, defense, special teams. Buffalo was inept. Pittsburgh will not be inept. And I can't do Stephen Hill this week. However, down the road, possibly. But why even Tebow was in there for 5-6 plays, I have no idea. But, you know, that's just my take on that. I just can't do that right now.
We're talking to Eric Baltman from the High Stakes Fantasy Hour and helps out at the FFPC, is going to be spearheading the Fantasy Baseball Players Championship. I got to get that right, the FBPC. So that's going to be something cool for all you baseball freaks out there. Electric Relish is in the chat room here, Eric. You know the chat room at Red vs. Blue, we affectionately call it the crew, some of the best minds in the world of high stakes fantasy football. Electric Relish is in the chat. He asked, is Brendan Myers a deep FFPC sleeper? 5 receptions for 61 yards. I always need to see that one more week, and he makes a good point. You know, we have to grab him ahead of the curve. What do you think? Do you know anything about this Brendan Myers kid? I watched the game, but as far as research on Brendan Myers, I don't know a lot about him.
You know, it's interesting you bring him up because I feel like I am, as far as Wisconsin goes, I'm like president of the Brandon Myers fan club. I was really surprised that more teams weren't on Brandon Myers this first week of bidding. Dude goes 5 for 65. I mean, Denarius Moore's Ford is going in for surgery. DHB kind of underperformed. Jerron Kreiner didn't do much. Who did Carson Palmer look for when Oakland was trying to get back in the game? It was Brandon Myers. And you're talking FFPC points there. I mean, that's like 14 points. I don't know how you can leave a guy like that out on the waiver wire. So, you have to be ahead of – you hit the nail on the head, Scott, 1 week early because there's no way you're a week late. Even if you already have two tight ends, it's not a bad guy to take a low risk on. I really like Brandon Myers the rest of the season.
Well, we'll give credit to Electric Relish for bringing that up in the chat room. Jonathan Baldwin is another interesting player, guys. He didn't get much action, much love at all. I think he saw a total of 7 snaps, and he was in the preseason looking like somebody that was going to be heavily involved. Instead, Dexter McCluster becomes the guy who everybody's after now. To plug into the lineup instead of sitting on the bench. He's a guy that's going to be a fixture and a mainstay of fantasy lineups, I think, this year. Again, another in the mold of Darren Sproles. We're seeing the Cobbs. We're seeing the McClusters. We talked about the Hawkins. But Jonathan Baldwin, I think he's still a hold. I don't say you give up on him yet. Casey said the Atlanta game, they have these two deep zones, and they were more favorable to the tight ends. It'll be different week to week. They are talking about getting Baldwin back into the game. So, again, 20-man lineups, I think you hold him. 18-man lineups, you probably go ahead and cut him. But if it's a 20-man lineup, I think you hold him unless you're just really desperate to take a flyer on somebody else. Baldwin still has huge upside as a player. Remember, he was drafted before, in most fantasy circles, before the Randall Cobbs of last year. And so he has the pedigree, he has the talent. So the question is, will he get the opportunity this year? And look, Dwayne Bowe is known to have some injuries and get dinged up a little bit. And if that's the case, we do think that Dexter McCluster will be heavily involved as a move the chains type guy, but for a deep, big physical threat, Jonathan Baldwin fits the mold. So I would tell you to just hold on to him for one more week and see what the coach has to say. Lots of injuries, Eric. I don't know what to make of a lot of these. Nate Washington, he's questionable with the calf. So that means Kenny Britt is going to get a bigger opportunity now. He practiced in full, but he's questionable with the knee. I think we're going to see Britt this week, and Tennessee's going to need everything they can get to get a W this week, just like last. They're at San Diego, a 6.5-point dog. Eric, what do you think about putting Kenny Britt into the lineup this week?
I always like getting a ton of receivers on my team, so usually I don't have to reach for receivers, but I mean, if you get hit with, maybe you had Forte or Fred Jackson and now you need to plug your running back that you had in flex last week, maybe you need to put him in running back. You know, Kenny Britt's like a fine flyer to take, but honestly, if I can avoid starting him, I will. I read that they're going to give him limited snaps. They kind of want to work him in. I don't think that they're convinced that he's, 100% healthy yet. And it just could be like, a week where they really just pound the heck out of Chris Johnson. Like, sink or swim, yeah. Dude. You're our money man. You're either bringing this to us or we got to look for big-time other opportunities on offense. So, and Kendall Wright, don't forget about him. I mean, he could have a big week, too. Maybe we see a lot of Jared Cook. I know they got a second tight end whose name is escaping me right now, but I know he got a big deal on the offseason, too. So they do have other weapons there. Until I see Kenny Britt really, getting significant separation from NFL starting corners, it's going to be tough for me to sit him. So I'm in a holding pattern on him. If I can avoid starting him, I'm going to.
If I can, I kind of agree there, agree again with you, Eric. The reason I do is because Tennessee, they seem like a very similar team as Oakland. And Oakland played San Diego last Monday night. And they pretty much couldn't get much going at all with the passing game. So I could see Tennessee trying to use Chris Johnson, but not getting much going with the passing game at all against San Diego. So, I can see it being a very similar type of game to where San Diego will just wear you down, and not let you pass at all. And, you know, they're not going to get much out of their passing game whatsoever.
We have a situation here where Ryan Matthews is questionable. He still hasn't completed a full practice. Gates should play in that Tennessee-San Diego game. This is a 4 o'clock game, guys, and so if you're sitting on a Matthews and maybe even a Ronnie Brown combo because you backed him up, it's not really doing you a lot of good. Ronnie Brown is not that fantasy relevant. So the questions become, hey, do I put in a marginal flex player just to maybe get me some points? So I would give you an example like, maybe a Mercedes Lewis, somebody like that, or maybe an Andre Roberts in the 1 o'clock games. If you're faced with that decision versus not knowing the news because it's a 4 o'clock game with San Diego, Eric, what do you do with this Ryan Matthews?
I think one thing that I've always found out works for me is if you guys watch the early morning player updates before the 1 o'clock games go off, a lot of times there's kind of a lull about a half hour before the games actually kick off. And in that lull, I think some of these beat reporters and some of the national guys will start – tapping their to find out what's going on with the late game. So I think a lot of times you'll never get anything definitive, but a lot of times you get an update of the handwriting's kind of on the wall where somebody will get just a feeling like, it does not look good for Matthews at all. Well, then that's usually the cue to sit him, and you could start somebody in the 1 o'clock game rather than, have nobody in the 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Depending upon how I, what kind of, if I have Ryan Matthews, depending upon the vibe I'm getting, with those news updates up until 1 o'clock, depending upon that, I think I'm comfy with, rolling with Matthews as my flex and plugging in another guy in there. But if I don't like it at all, I'm like, screw it. I'm not even going to mess around with it. I got to get points. I'm just going to plug somebody in for the 1 o'clock game. Play. He doesn't even play a full complement of snaps. Maybe he gets hurt again. Maybe the isn't all the way healed. I mean, there's all these you have from an injury like this. But in fantasy baseball, pitcher who gets off the DL, I never start him right away in that first start off the DL. I got to see it once. And with Matthews coming back kind of on the early side of this 4 to 6 week timetable, I got to see him play once. I'm cool with, losing out on whatever points he puts up in order to guarantee myself points in the 1 o'clock games.
Yeah.
Another big story of the NFL weekend was C.J. Spiller, the injury to Fred Jackson. People spent early picks, third and fourth round picks on this guy, and he goes down. He should be back in a couple of weeks, what they say, but C.J. Spiller has already, again, in one game, proven that if he gets the ball, he can handle the load. He's playing a Kansas City team who comes off a really tough loss against Atlanta. This is a team that I talked about with ESPN. They were a 7-9 team last year, and they were missing out on Matt Cassel, Jamal Charles, and one of their best defensive players. And again, the line on the Chiefs was 7 wins. And I'm like, you know what? I looked at the schedule. The first 4 games, the Chiefs are underdogs. So if you're going to bet the Chiefs, which I believe that they can do that 7, you're going to get very good odds, much better odds by waiting 3 or 4 weeks here, just a little tidbit, much better odds waiting 3 or 4 weeks in. You might be able to get them at a 1-3 or an 0-4 start of the season, and you might be able to get, 6-1 on them, possibly, or maybe even 10-1 to win the division. Much better odds than what you can get right now. So just a little tidbit, but back to C.J. Spiller. This kid, I wish I had I was really strong on him, bullish earlier in the year, and I was picking him up everywhere. And then I just started noticing that everybody, the Fred Jackson love, just kept wearing on me, and they're like, he's not going to get the carries. It was a clean break of a bone. It wasn't a knee injury, and it just wore on me. And then before you know it, I just started softening up on Spiller, and I'm like, well, he's one of those guys that now, instead of me taking a risk on and grabbing in the fifth like I did at the in the Pros versus Joes or those earlier drafts, Eric, I found myself letting him slip into that Jacquizz Rodgers area, the Kendall Hunter area. He's a much better back than any of those guys, and I think we're seeing that now. Did we lose Eric?
No, I'm still here. Sorry. I think you're totally right with the Spiller thing. I think, and I did notice that too. I talking to people, it seemed like Fred Jackson was really climbing up the boards instead of Spiller, which is weird because like how often do you see 31-year-old running back coming off a major injury? How often do you see, you know, him? And not the young first-round pick, pedigreed, electric, dynamic, explosive running back that can catch the ball. He can, you know, run between tackles. He's got a nose for the end zone. He's great in open space. And he was falling. So it's like, why is the not ripping on Fred Jackson, but why is the slower, more rising draft boards and Spiller is falling? Is it just because Jackson's the starter? Well, that doesn't make any sense because Spiller's still going to get a ton of touches. I mean, they know where their bread's buttered. They know that Spiller is going to be the man on that offense. So that really didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But now the teams that were able to scrape up Spiller in those mid-rounds where he was falling to, I mean, he got a rock-solid top 10 run now for the next month.
Mike Adrian Peterson is Mr. Amazing, obviously. He comes to Indianapolis. This is my lock of the week. Indianapolis, a much improved defense, although Chicago did seem to exploit them with that Marshall and Cutler connection. I don't see the pass rush coming from Minnesota like we did Chicago. That was really the only flaw in the game plan for the Colts. The offensive line broke down. I think they had a really great effort against Chicago in week one, but the offensive line cost Luck and his ability to be able to get the ball down the field. Indianapolis is a 2-point underdog at home. I think that Luck gets the Colts their first win of the season in week two against Minnesota, Mike, but Adrian Peterson is definitely the story here. What are your thoughts on AD?
Okay, well, first off, all day long, I think it's going to have a very good day. The over and under is 44.5. Now, we're talking about two teams that, on paper should not be that offensive, big-time offensive. I think Luck, I think, connects with his receivers. Kobe Fleener, I expect Kobe Fleener to have a huge day underneath against Minnesota's D. I mean, I really think Luck and Fleener will do the same deal that they did at Stanford, all day. Minnesota, Adrian Peterson, I really expect him to. I think he's good for one touch and probably at least 75 to 90 yards rushing, and who knows what receiving out of the backfield. So, you know, when I say that, it kind of tells me that this game could go under, but I think it's going to be a very close game. I think the spread is spot on.
Eric, I'll give you the other side of the coin. Touchdown, Donald Brown came through in a big way with that 18-yard staunch. He averaged 5.5 yards a carry again. He's just not getting the carries. The Bears kind of took him out of the game plan, so to speak. What did you think about Donald Brown and his ability to do something this week against Minnesota?
Yeah, I really like Donald Brown. I drafted him basically every chance I could in Kentucky this year. I was setting my Kentucky lineups, and I got Donald Brown on every freaking team. So if that guy, you know, goes down this year, he's taking all my teams down with him. But so I really like Donald Brown. I felt like last week, because Chicago was just rolling in the first half, the Colts, were really forced to abandon the running game and take advantage of Luck and Reggie. Big game, but Brown got involved in the passing game too. So it's not like he becomes totally useless when they have to switch to catch up mode. But I think he's a fringe running back two start. He's a great flex option if you can flex him out. I think he has a really solid week this week. I am with you. I think the Colts also get the win.
347-324-5404 is the number. We do have lights in the chat room here. We've got Electric Relish with a question from Mike. Is life in Kentucky like the show Justified or more like Hell on Wheels from KO Crew?
Justified.
All right. We've got Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Hour. Eric, we've got games All 1 o'clock on New Orleans at Carolina, Cleveland at Cincinnati, Houston at Jacksonville, and Oakland at Miami. Very interesting. Denarius Moore is probable in that game. We haven't seen what this kid could do. A lot of teams were drafting him very, very early for where we've seen his for where we've seen him go recently. Talk to us about Denarius Moore and his ability to possibly stretch the field there at Miami.
Denarius Moore is like, I'm not allowed, like, don't even take anything I say about Denarius Moore with any kind of plausibility or credibility, because I have none on Denarius Moore. That guy, like, I was so excited about him when he was a rookie. I've heard, you know, really intelligent people in the football industry talk about how great he is and how fantastic his talent is and how athletic he is and how great his hands are. I'm like, my God, this sounds like the second coming of Steve Smith. He's going to be great in that Oakland offense. And I drafted him all over the place, and he had like two good games last year and was hurt the rest of them or just didn't do anything in the rest of them. So now in the same stuff again this year. Oh, you know, that was just a year, throw it out the window. He's going to be fine. Well, you know what? He's hurt again. And now he's probable in week two. I mean, who knows if he's – I mean, he could be coming back. I really haven't seen him on the field in the preseason at all, so I really don't know what to expect from him. So I just stayed away from him this year. If you got him on your team, you're probably still not starting him this week because you don't know how good he's going to be and how healthy he is. And since there's no buys, you probably have better options because he was going, you know, you got a pretty good bargain on him. And I don't think anybody is feeling pressured to start him this week. There and try to hit a home run. I mean, more power to you. I just think he's going to fizzle out.
We have a few minutes left here in the program, Eric. A few running back sleepers for you. Again, we gave you Donald Brown. Jonathan Dwyer versus the Jets could be a flex option after a solid week one outing. Jacquizz Rodgers, the more Atlanta throws, the better Rodgers will be, especially in these PPR leagues, guys. And Jacquizz Rodgers is going to have a big game, an opportunity. Touch-wise, he had more touches than Michael Turner this week, so and more snaps. So that tells you the changing of the guard is kind of taking place. This team is establishing itself a new identity with Julio Jones and Roddy White, and the people that drafted Julio Jones are looking like they're right. Obviously, things could change. We saw what Brandon Marshall did from 1 week to the next. It could happen to Julio as well, but this game, Denver at Atlanta, to kind of cap things off after a great week, is going to be something special. I'm looking forward to that game, hanging out here on the Wintergreen Way with the boys and the fellas, watching this game and kicking Nate's tail on Monday night. But Eric, give us a quick rundown on the Denver Atlanta game. That is the game of the week. Did we lose Eric?
Well, Scott, I just want to.
Go ahead, Mike.
I just want to jump in on that Denver-Atlanta game because I've been wanting to bend your ear and Eric as well on Michael Turner, his value. If he's a second back or your flex, the worst being a 1, the best being a 10, you know, where does Michael Turner fall right now? They're playing Denver. They're at home. The over-under is 51, so points are screaming. I mean, it's going to be a lot of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and, et cetera. But where does Michael Turner fall into the value situation as your second back or a flex? I mean, 1 being worse, 10 being the best.
Wow. Mike, I got to tell you, we've only got a couple of minutes left here in the show. But it's a great question, and a lot of people are asking, email in the Red Blue Radio inbox. He falls right in there with the Willis McGahees of the world, and right now maybe not even as good as the Cedric Bensons. We saw Benson look great. I don't think we see that kind of burst from Michael Turner anymore. It's the Jacquizz Rodgers show, man. I really believe that. I think you're going to see the occasional touchdown, but does he have the speed to break loose and break free anymore? I'm not so sure it's still there. The burst, I definitely don't see. But it's a game. The Falcons won 40-24. Turner failed to contribute. He had 11 carries for 32 yards. He was clearly outplayed by the backup, Jacquizz Rodgers, although he only had 35 total yards. The fear for Turner this season is realized if just for one game. The Falcons are now a pass-happy attack. Turner doesn't fit into that offense, and he could still find the end zone against the Broncos this week, but in a matchup between Ryan and Manning, I don't anticipate much running. It's hard to bench Turner everywhere. But if you have better alternatives, you might want to keep him reserved. The good news for Turner is he has 4 touchdowns in his past 5 home games. So that is something you do want to take into account. Do we have Eric back here now?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. I think you've been having some cell phone issues. Eric, it was awesome having you on Red vs. Blue. You know you're welcome on here every Friday night. We love your show on Fridays, the High Stakes Fantasy Hour, you and Dave Gerzak. We keep having phone issues with Eric, man. The poor guy, man. He lives in Wisconsin. You know, you don't get real good cell service up there. Mikey Trent, we're out of time,
yes,
man. It's Red versus Blue. We'll see you guys next week. Good luck on your teams, Mike. It's winner go home, baby. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.
I'm getting so cold. I ain't waited this hard since I was 18. Apologize if I say anything I don't mean. Like, what's up with your best friend? We could all have some fun, believe me. And what's up with these new niggas? And why they think it all comes so easy?
But get it while you here, boy. 'Cause all that hype don't feel the same next year, boy. Yeah, and I'll be right here in my spot with a little more cash than I already got. Tripping off you 'cause you had your shot. With my skin tan and my hair long, with my fans who've been so patient. Me and 40 back to work, but we still smell like a vacation. Hate your rumors, hate the bullshit, hate these fucking allegations. I'm just feeling like the throne is for the taking. Watch me take
all
it.
I care about is money in the city that I'm from. I'ma sip until I feel it, I'ma smoke until it's done. I don't really give a fuck, and my excuse is that I'm young. And I'm only getting older, somebody should've told you I'm on one, yeah. Fuck it, I'm on one. Yeah, I said I'm on one. Fuck it, I'm on one.
Two white cups that I got that drink. Could be purple or could be pink. Depending on how you mix that shit. Money to be gotten, I'ma get that shit. 'Cause I'm on one.
I said fuck it, I'm on
one. I'm burning purple flowers. It's burning my chest. I bury the most cash and burning the rest. Walking on the clouds, suspended in thin air. The ones beneath me recognize the red bottoms I wear. Burning the belt, move the kids to the heels. Been shorty on the sink, do it for the thrill. Kiss you on your neck and tell you everything is great. Even though I'm out on bond and might be facing Nate, still running with the same niggas to the death of me. Ever seen a million cash, gotta count it carefully. Ever made love to the woman of your dreams? Woo! In a room full of money out in London as she screams. Oh, baby, I could take it there. Call Mark Jacobs personally to make a pair. So yeah, we on one, the feeling ain't fair. And it's double MG until I get the chair.
All I care about is money in the city that I'm from. I'ma sip until I feel it, I'ma smoke until it's done. I don't really give a fuck, and my excuse is that I'm young. And I'm only getting older, somebody should've told you I'm on one, yeah. Fuck it, I'm on one. Yeah, I said I'm on one. Fuck it, I'm on one.
Two white cups that I got that drink. Could be purple or could be pink. Depending on how you mix that shit. Money to be gotten, I'ma get that shit. 'Cause I'm on one.
I said fuck it, I'm on one. I walk around the club. Fuck everybody. And all my niggas got that heat. I feel like Pat Riley. Yeah, too much money ain't enough money. You know the feds listening. Nigga, what money? I'm a made nigga. I should dust something. You niggas on the bench, like the bus coming. Ain't nothing sweet but the switches. I'm focused, might as well say cheese for the pitchers. Oh, I'm about to go Andre the Giant. You a sellout, but I ain't buying. Chop a dissect a nigga like science. Put it into your world like the Mayans. It's a celebration, bitches. Mazel tov, it's a slim chance I fall. Olive oil, don't you be the name. Don't ask me how I got it. I'm killing these hoes. I swear I'm trying to stop the violence.
All I care about is money, yeah. In the city that I'm from, I'ma sip until I feel it. I'ma smoke until it's done. I don't really give a fuck, and my excuse is that I'm young. And I'm only getting older. Somebody should have told you I'm on one. Yeah, fuck it, I'm on one. YMCB, I said I'm on one. Fuck it, I'm on one.
Two white cups that I got that drink. Could be purple or could be pink. Depending on how you mix that shit. Money to be gotten, I'ma get that shit. Cause I'm on one. I said fuck it, I'm on one.
I get them all. I get them all. Get 'em all.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.